You're listening to Hearing Our Heritage, the podcast where we preserve the voices and stories of the older generation and make them accessible to younger ears. We pay tribute to those who have paved the way and learn from their lived experiences. I'm your host, Katie Pierce.
Nancy Virginia Warren. I was born April 7th, 1931 in Salt Lake City at the Holy Cross Hospital.
Nancy Warren is an adventurous, hardworking, and caring woman. She was raised in Salt Lake City, where she had a childhood that she called a little rebellious, but a lot of fun. That culminated in her eloping with her sweetheart Kenny when she was only 17 years old. They shared over 60 years of marriage and welcomed 5 kids into their family. She is an incredible mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. She has enjoyed many different pursuits, activities, travels, and adventures. Nowadays, she suffers from blindness, but keeps a smile on her face and a fantastic sense of humor. As I sat with her, she talked to me while knitting, which I found to be amazing. You may hear her knitting needles clack together throughout the interview. She spent her life serving her family, those around her, and the Lord. Her love for life is contagious. We'll start her story with her parents.
My mother, Elizabeth Johnson, was born in Richmond, Utah. My dad is Frank Decimer Warren. The Decimer is for the 10th child. He was born in Ontario, Canada. My dad learned to be a tailor in Canada. And he and his brother came to Salt Lake, but his brother left and my dad stayed. But in the meantime, he had started several businesses. He'd been in business somewhere in the South. And then he moved to Park City and was a tailor there. And he used to hike over the mountains to Alta, take measurements from the miners, and go back to Park City and make suits for them. He did that for a number of years. Then he came to Salt Lake and was a tailor here, and he also had a couple of businesses, one in electronics. He was adorable, but he was always anxious with his business. Working on that was a big deal for him, but he was still a darling father. When he married my mom, he had never even heard of the church. She was born in Richmond, Utah, and she was not rebellious necessarily, but free thinker. As soon as she finished school, and I don't know what grades they even finished there in Richmond, she and her sister came to Salt Lake for their adventure. And they got jobs, I think, with a telephone company or something. She sang with a group that turned out to be the Tabernacle Choir. And, of course, this was kind of a volunteer thing at that time. And she met and married her first husband, who was William Newman. And then he died. By then, they had 3 children. And he had been sick with this when the last child was born, so they went to St. George thinking that warmer climate was better for his lungs, but he died there. So my uncle brought mother and her 3 children home, and so she was a widow with 3 children when she met my dad. By then, there were 2 teenage girls and my brother. So my dad took on quite a bit. This was during the war. I was born in the thick of the Great Depression, which ran right into World War II. I was his only child. He was 50 when I was born, and my mom was like 41 or something. So I thought they were really old. I pretty much grew up an only child. And my half-siblings, the closest in age to me, is 10 years older. My brother was in the Marines, and he's the one who fought in World War II with Japan in the Pacific Islands. He didn't ever say much, but that's when he got married, sometime during then.
Mm-hmm.
What I remember is we moved a lot. By the time I got to fifth grade, I had lived in four homes. So it didn't really ever settle anywhere very much and make friends. My mom took me to Sunday schools sometimes when we could find one within walking distance, because we only had one car and my dad took that to work. And Sunday school was in the morning, but we didn't ever go to sacrament meeting, as I remember. But anyway, during those four moves, I joined the church. I didn't know what I was doing, but my mom and I took the trolley or the bus down to Salt Lake City. And I think it was my first time at Temple Square, and I was baptized in the basement of the tabernacle. And I didn't really know what that was all about, but I knew I was a Mormon now, and that was pretty exciting, whatever a Mormon was. My dad was in his mid-80s when he finally joined. So I'm a pioneer for the Warren line because I was the first one baptized of the Warrens from Canada.
One memory that Nancy has is the prayer she used to say as a young girl.
Now I lay me down in the sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That was the only prayer I knew. Then I would say, God bless my mother and dad and brothers and sisters. And that was it. I didn't ever really learn to talk to God.
As Nancy explained, she's her father's only child. She had several half-siblings, but they were much older than her.
The closest in age to me is 10 years older. I pretty much grew up an only child. I don't remember much about those years we were moving so much. It seemed like I had friends with each move. I started school at Highland Park, and then we moved, and I went to Emerson School, and then I went to Hamilton School, and that part I remember most. We lived on 9th South and 10th East, so we'd hang out at the 9th and 9th, and it was fun even then. There was the Tower Theater. We'd go to Saturday morning movies, and every Saturday morning they would give you a dish as part of a set of china you could collect. They had cartoons for the kids, and we would walk down to Liberty Park for fun or go ice skating in the winter. I remember walking down by myself to Liberty Park, carrying my skates in the dark, and meet my friends there. The lake would freeze over and they'd have fires, and that was a fun thing to do. I'd enter Liberty Park from 9th South and walk clear over to 11th South, I think, to get to the lake there. And as I was walking through an arbor there, a guy was coming toward me and he exposed himself. I didn't know what that was, so I just ignored the whole thing. And I'm sure that didn't give him a charge because I didn't even react. I just walked right on and went skating. Didn't even realize it till later what was happening. That's how dumb I am, was. I did take piano lessons in an old building on Main Street, the Constitution Building. Funny old building with a wire elevator that went up the middle, and you could smell people cooking different things on your way up, different ethnicities. And there was a guy there who taught modern piano. And I was an obnoxious, rebellious kid. I wouldn't start with the little piano books the kids started with. He taught in a different way, and that was fun. So I'd go there after school and have my lessons and go home with my dad. His store was two doors up the street. I loved school at Hamilton. Remembered my teacher, Miss Henderson. I was really fond of and remembered best. We'd walk to school and hang out in the neighborhoods. Then we moved to our permanent home up on Hartford. My dad paid $5,000 for that house. That's when I went to Highland Park for my part of fifth and sixth grade. We went to Irving Junior High School in Sugar House, and that was fun because we were quite near Sugar House. My girlfriend lived up on 21st South and 15th East, and so we would walk those blocks from 25th South to 21st and go on 13th East and hang out in Sugar House. That was fun. There was a movie there we loved, and Sugar House was a fun place at that time. And that's where Irving Junior High School was, finished there and went on to East High School, which was fun. During high school, my dad by then had this radio and music store and sold records, had little booths where people would go in and close the door and listen to records they might want to buy. So I sold records, found records and sold them for them. And that was my job with my dad. Go down after school and hang out with my friends. Sometimes we'd go to Keeley's and have Coke and French fries. And I'd go work with my dad, and my friends would go home, I guess. So I'd stay there and drive and go home with him after work. I knew how to sell records and do that. So I went down to Sears and worked there for a little while, doing the same thing I was doing at Daddy's shop, and got tired of it. And one day just didn't go back. And I stayed a lot with my girlfriends and stayed up late or overnight and stayed with her and didn't tell my mother that we were out fooling around. Her home was right on 21st South and 15th East. That's where the old prison was. So we would hang out there and talk to the prisoners. If you can imagine, it was, well, there were row houses, the warden's houses or the guard's houses, and then right behind that was the prison. And on the second story up there, they would look right out of their bars and call the people driving by. And so that was fun.
Another thing Nancy would do for fun is attend dances at the Saltaire.
They had a big dance pavilion and a roller coaster and I don't know what all else. Anyway, that was fun to go out there. You could ride a little train. It was called the Interurban, out to Saltaire, and the same line went to Lagoon. Same thing, we could go there and hear the big bands and dance. I dated quite a bit in high school, and those were my crazy years, really, because I was just into fun. School was okay, but that was beside the point. We'd go to the canyons and have parties. I dated one guy who was a singer and a drummer. That was fun. Ted Heath was his name. And when I met Kenny, that was about the end of my high school years. Well, he loved music too.
This is the beginning of Nancy and Kenny's love story.
My good friend Carlene was going with a guy named Doc Sessions, who was a bass player. And so I met Ken through that group that enjoyed that jazz. It was a fun evening, and I was as into the fun with everyone else as I was with him so much. I think we went to a place called the Rainbow Rendezvous, where all the big bands played. Kenny was in the Navy, but he was in the Navy toward the end of the war, and he did something in San Francisco, and then he was shipped to New York, and then they went back, and then the war was over. So I think pretty much he must have just had the training. I was 17. I enjoyed being with him, just getting together for about a year and a half. That was it mainly. We just fell in love, was Twitterpated. He was 21. My mother thought he was way too old for me. And he had been in the Navy and had been released. And we went one weekend with a couple to Elko, And they got married, and we thought that was such fun and so romantic and so exciting. And we planned for a while, but it was so romantic, so secret. I mean, that tells you how dumb I was at the time. I hadn't even thought about what marriage really meant. My mother never even talked to me about that at all, as far as I can remember. So all of my siblings got married, and I didn't even know about it. Of course, this was the end of the Depression, and during World War II, I think my brother came home from a leave and got married. And all of a sudden, both my sisters were married. I don't remember going to any wedding celebrations. When I think about it now, it is the strangest thing. Anyway, that explains a little bit why we thought it was a good idea to just go to Elko and get married. Neither one of us really knew anything about the church. However, he'd been baptized. And of course, it made my mother we didn't tell him for a while. Finally, we told our parents, and this was right after the war, and we couldn't get a place to live. Housing was terrible. We finally got a fun little apartment up on the avenues. We lived with my folks for a while until we found a place, and Sydney was born. She was adorable, and we loved her, and hadn't even thought a whole lot about how we were going to raise a family. We lived in an apartment. It was very strange. It was an old house with the owners lived there, but they had an apartment on one side of it and another apartment upstairs. We lived on the avenues up where part of LDS Hospital is now, and decided that we wanted our own home. And so we were working, saving for that. I worked for the Pacific National Insurance Company for a while. So we saved our money to buy a house. Got our first house out in Cottonwood, and that was about 1,000 miles from Salt Lake. We thought we may never see our families again. It seemed so far away. Peggy had just been born. When I first met Kenny, he was working at the Best men's clothing store in Salt Lake. He sold and decorated their display windows there. And then he did that and had another nighttime job as we were saving money to buy our first house. Then he got a traveling job. He was, of course, knew about the men's clothing business by then, and through that store got a manufacturer's representative job and traveled the western states. Sometimes he'd be gone almost 2 weeks. So I was alone a lot of the time raising the children. We had our ups and downs along the way, of course.
That big move to their first home proved to be one of the best things to happen to their family.
When we moved up to Boxwood, we had 2 children. Then we had 2 more. We had Warren and Kay. And so this was a wonderful neighborhood. Lots of young families, lots of children. We made friends, and it was a happy time. Our children wanted to go to primary with their friends. So that was on Wednesday afternoons. And they did, and after time, and been influenced by our neighbors, they wanted to go to Sunday school. So, of course, we decided to go to Sunday school with them. And that's when we began learning about the church. We learned with our children, went to church, and then sacrament meeting was in the evening again. So got going to sacrament meeting and got active, loved that ward and loved that neighborhood. We lived there for 12 years. In the meantime, we were active in the ward and got sealed in the Salt Lake Temple. Had 2 more children by then. And about that time, my mom died. My dad couldn't see, so we decided we needed a bigger home. And that's when we moved here. And then when we moved here, we had Holly. My dad, he was as blind as I am by then. It's the same disease. But that was a fun time with my dad here. He taught Warren to play chess, and it was just fun having him here with the children.
Despite the excitement of a new home and a new baby, it was a very hard time for Nancy when she lost her mother.
I was mad at her because she just left me too soon. I realized later that's normal to part of grieving is being angry. I just was so homesick when we moved here, missed my friends, missed my mom, and that was a hard time for me. But I survived, and we moved here and loved it. It was fun up on Boxwood with all the friends we had and the friends the children had, and they were busy. Back in those days, the kids weren't all over the place like they are now. Warren played baseball and loved that. The girls took dancing lessons, and we'd go on vacations once in a while. We took the kids to Yellowstone a couple of times, and in the summers, we would go to California, where Kenny's sister had a beach house, and we always had a good time down there in the summers. Drive down in the middle of the summer in a roasting hot car. Christmases are great fun. Christmases aren't a whole as much fun until you have children. Then it's just like being a kid all over again. And I hope they were fun for them. We started a few traditions when we were here, like Christmas Eve and the Christmas story, and exchanging gifts with our neighbors, visiting family. One of our best Christmas memories was the year that Holly was born. Sydney had just started college at BYU, and early in that year, we decided we were going to have a foreign exchange student because we'd had a cousin who had exchange student, and we loved her, and we loved that idea. So we had signed up for an exchange student. Her name was Marie Pierre from France. We had arranged for this exchange student before I knew I was pregnant. So in an extremely busy year, but it was fun. But I got ready for Christmas early. So here I had this new baby, Holly, born in December. And I was ready for Christmas. And Sydney came home from college, and we had a foreign exchange student with us, and it was just wonderful with this family and this darling new baby. One of my best Christmases.
I asked Nancy to share a little something about each of her kids. The first up was Sydney.
Well, we adored her, darling little girl, and she was always a good girl. They asked her to sing a solo in sacrament meeting one time, and it would have scared me silly, but she sang this sweet little song, and it was beautiful, and she was just always a good girl, and she's a wonderful person now.
Next is her second daughter, Peggy.
Peggy was quite different. She was a demanding child. Peggy was 2.5. And one day we were out in the backyard with friends, and this little 2.5-year-old came down the stairs, across all the concrete, opened the gate, and brought this baby to us, was carrying Warren. Scared us to death.
Kenny and Nancy have one son, Warren.
We got our boy, and we adored him. And he loved sports, loved playing with the boys in the neighborhood. Never getting in trouble. He really didn't, except he and Spence both burned down a field one day. And then they threw dirt clods into a nursery greenhouse, broke the windows. Oh, and then he and a friend got some kind of flare and were sprinkling it into a fire, which blew up in his hand. burned his hand that badly in his face and scared us to death. Luckily, his face was just burned so evenly all over that he got new skin and looked just fine.
Warren was followed by two more girls, Kay and Holly.
Kay was darling. We all loved her. She is a very talented woman. She sings. She sang solos in Jesus Christ Superstar. She sang in that, and that was beautiful. Kay turned out the best pianist. She plays the organ and the ward now. She's been Relief Society president and just a wonderful woman. Holly is adorable. We all loved her. Warren used to tend her when I was doing other things. And he'd just put her in bed upstairs and go downstairs in his room and close the door and left her. Let her cry. So we didn't let that go on too long. Holly, we were all just so crazy about her. She and I used to do the polka around the house, dance around together. We used to play steamroller on the floor, just rolling over each other, I guess. Holly grew up to be a fine mother and woman.
Nancy has 17 grandchildren and 23 great-grandchildren. She counts her family as her greatest blessing.
The best thing about living to be this old, I think, is getting to know my children as friends and getting to know grandchildren and great-grandchildren, because I didn't ever know a grandmother. I've loved knowing my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren as they grow up or as adults.
One thing to know about Nancy is that she is always up for an adventure, and there have been plenty in her lifetime.
When Kay was graduating from high school, there was a trip planned. Some of the high school graduates who wanted to could go on a trip to Europe. So we decided early in her high school years that I'd like to do that. So I sold Avon around the neighborhood and to friends for a couple of years and saved my money so that Kay and I could go on this graduation trip to Europe. We started in England. We went to Spain, Italy, Austria, Belgium. And then after that, Kay and I left the tour and crossed the channel and went over to France to visit the family of the foreign exchange student we had. We called her MP. Stayed with her parents, and they took us touring in the Normandy area, stayed with them for a week, and that was wonderful. The group Kenny sang with, called the Swanee Singers, and they were going on this cruise and doing some entertaining on the cruise, and it turned out just the time of Holly's graduation, so we took Holly and her friend on this cruise. That was fun. One year, Peggy and her husband and her family went to Europe, and we went into what felt like Russia to us. I don't know how far. But that was fun with these kids. And we stayed in youth hostels and had a lot of adventures and discovered things that we didn't even know we would find. So for instance, we were in Belgium. And one day there was a really busy town. And they were doing the reenactment of Napoleon's last stand. So these people were all dressed up for a fight and a war in their costumes. And anyway, we would run into different things like that. Went to one town one night when they were doing the World Soccer Games. And some of them decided they wanted to go see the World Cup. So this was in Italy, and we just drove up to the stadium. And the kids who wanted to go got out and got, I guess, scalper tickets and went to the soccer game. Peggy and I went to visit, I think it was in Verona, went to visit the town while they went to the soccer game. Anyway, one adventure after another like that. That was great fun. We went on 4 or 5 cruises in Alaska and Panama and And he enjoyed those, but I love adventures. When we went to Mexico, he wouldn't ever go on the parasailing. I love that. I went on a couple of hot air balloon rides. He wasn't interested in that. Gliding in an airplane where one plane pulls you up and then disconnects, and then you have a pilot, but you're just sailing in the air. I loved that. That was exciting. Katie didn't want to do that. I went flying with a guy who said he'd teach me how to fly, but he wasn't interested in that either. For my 80th birthday, my girls and I went hiking down southern Utah in the Slot Canyons. I love to ski and play golf. I like to garden. I like to cook. I love to go on long walks with my friends, things I can't do anymore. I love to sew. I like to knit.
With all of her talents and abilities, Nancy was able to hold many different roles and jobs throughout her life.
I had several roles. I worked for the fashion exhibitors, for one thing. Then Kenny and I worked in the Salt Lake Temple. We were working in the clothing. But during that time, I was volunteering at the church office building as a hostess and guide. And then my eyes were getting bad. So then I moved over to the Joseph Smith building, doing the same thing, hostess and guide. But then my eyes were getting so bad that I couldn't recognize people. I'd greet the same people over and over again. So I had to stop doing that. I guess that's been hard, but it's been quite gradual. So I've got a big long list of things I love to do and can't anymore.
Nancy also worked for the Salt Lake City Visitors Bureau for 19 years.
That was helping with the conventions they had there, or they would have different jobs where they needed people. We worked at the Hotel Utah a lot, which was fun when they were having a small meetings there, different hotels around town. We'd even go up to Park City and help with conventions they had up there, whatever they needed done. A lot in the Salt Palace.
Nancy had several part-time jobs, including being a testing proctor. Eventually, she ended up working for the Northwestern Pipeline.
Well, I worked in the measurement department, where they'd measure amounts of gas that went by pipe from Alaska. That was fun. Fun job because it was a lovely facility.
Sadly, Nancy lost Kenny 5 years ago, but she keeps a positive outlook, knowing she'll see him again soon.
He died 5 years ago. It was hard. The one thing that made it easier is that I had been used to being alone. He started failing, and it was hard caring for him. I hope he hasn't found someone he's liked better in the meantime, or decide he's outgrown me with everything he's learned since he died.
Nancy's faith has been at the center of her life, and that's led to many amazing experiences while serving others.
One time when I was Relief Society president, we always would pray before we went out, map our strategy, and go out visiting. And one time, and I don't even know how it happened now, we drove to one house down here on 5600 South, pulled in the driveway, and a man was calling from the upstairs bathroom. And we ended up helping him, got his wife from work and got him the help he needed. Anyway, that to me was so amazing. How that could even happen, that we would do that without even thinking twice about it. One time I went to the temple, and after I was all dressed and put my little suitcase away, there was a card sitting right there on the bench. And I hadn't done any temple work for a long time. I don't even know where that came from, but there was a card there of one of my ancestors that needed the temple work done. I was just so blessed to have been born at a time and a place when I could even learn that I had a Heavenly Father and His Son, my Savior. I think so sad for the people in the world who will never know in this lifetime about that there really is a Heavenly Father who loves them. So been blessed and guided to have things turn out the way they have because of my crazy years. I've got my family. That's the most important thing in my life. I love being the mom and having them around. I loved cooking for them, loved watching them grow, and certainly proud of the fine people they've turned out to be.
As you've heard, Nancy has had such an incredible life full of love, light, and fun. Her spunky, bright personality will bring a smile to anyone's face. She is talented, selfless, loving, and most importantly, faithful. She has centered her life on helping her family and serving the Lord. A huge thank you to Peggy and Eric Shantz for making this episode possible, and to Nancy for being interviewed. If there's someone that you would like to have featured on Hearing Our Heritage, email us at hearingourheritage.com or visit our website, hearingourheritage.com.